Welcome and thank you for joining us. At Worship Harvest, we believe that we are a movement of the gospel, discipleship, and mission. And we are committed to catalyzing spiritual, social, and economic renewal in our immediate communities. And as a result, the world. Here is this week's teaching.
Yesterday, we started this week on faith. And I told you I'm preaching the same sermon four times. And we looked at five things. What was the first thing? The obstacle. Faith begins with an obstacle. Yeah. And somehow we always have a negative attitude about or towards the obstacle. Like someone coined the phrase nicely, there's no testimony without a test. There are no victories without battles. So if you're going to write some victory stories, you're going to have some battles. Oh yeah. The battles, I'm not unpromising them as if, no, Jesus is the one who said, in this world, which one? This one. You shall have few. No, many, like a multitude, a multiplicity of troubles. Okay. I even said troubles, but he used the word, the worst word, tribulation. I'm sure when they say, do you want trouble or tribulation? You are like, I would rather have trouble. Tribulation is like another level of trouble. But as for Jesus, he said, you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. Why? I have overcome. Not I am overcoming the world. Yeah. Don't be that person who crumbles at the first sight of trouble. No. Because that's wrong training. I have. You see, there are people who chuck God because they lost a relative. They don't know that research shows that one out of one people die. And that those who die in the Lord shall never die. According to John chapter 11. You have eternal life, but you're thinking death. Like, how does that even work? It doesn't work. So don't be that person who chucks God at the first sight of trouble, saying, this is not the life I stand up for. No. Before you came, before you showed up, yeah, the world was already disturbed, in disturbance. So you're not the first one. Yeah, to have a pimple. Or a date. Or a heartbreak. Or a manyanga what? Whatever. But it says, be of good cheer. Do you know the meaning of the word cheer? Is it a quiet? When you say, I'm hearing people cheering, what does that mean? Now, imagine the sound you just heard being made by people who are going through tribulation. That's what makes you spiritual. Yeah, putting on a long face because you're going through problems, it shows your carnal. Yeah, you don't understand that this thing out is just a body. But you are a much more precious person on the inside. You're bigger than your body. Of course you're bigger than your body. Otherwise, all of us, if you had it to be big, would be trying to go around it differently. Who's that who doesn't see the joke? They are where? Now, let me first show you something. This is very important. I hope you're connecting the dots. That's why you have to read your Bible every day, because then you're able to connect the dots. Yeah. And I don't mean one verse. Have a Bible plan that gives you at least 3 to 5 chapters a day. Because without that, you'll not be able to see what I'm showing you. You'll just be like, is that in Nehemiah or is that in Hezekiah? Jedediah. So be of good cheer, as in make a lot of joyful noise, even in tribulation. Why? Because I have overcome the world. And then he tells us, this is the victory that has overcome the world. Our faith. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome. In other words, the cheering is not because you enjoy pain and you are some sadist who is looking for where there is pain, so you start laughing. No. The cheering is because of the presence of something greater than the tribulation, and that is our faith. A person in an airplane doesn't have to fear gravity. It doesn't take away the gravity, but the gravity is overcome. A person with faith doesn't have to fear tribulation, doesn't have to fear the obstacle, doesn't have to fear whatever it is that people want to throw at you, or the world, or the devil, or whoever. Who really cares the source? The response is always the same. And what's the response? Our faith. Even our faith. Second Peter chapter 1, verse 1. Simon Peter, a bond servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us. NLT. And it tells you how you have obtained it, by the righteousness of our God and Savior, not your own righteousness. First, this letter from Simon Peter, a slave and apostle. I'm writing to you who share the same precious faith we have. The same. Simon Peter's faith and your neighbor's faith are the same. And both are precious. They're identical. If you buy I wish we were washing in this meeting. Wow. If you buy a Range Rover 2023 series. Okay? It's what it's called. Autobiography. Some people, they follow up these issues more than others. And then your neighbor buys a Range Rover 2023 autobiography. Okay? And both are black. Okay? Apart from the registration numbers, which differentiate that this one is for this one and this one is for the other one, if you come to the parking lot, you should not be able to tell the difference. And automatically you must assume that the performance of one is equivalent to the performance of the other. Because I might be here talking faith and you are wondering which kind you have. Galatians 2:20 in the King James Version, please. By the way, these things are supposed to create a lot of like uncontrollable joy on the inside of you. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in, not the one of the future, the one I live now in the flesh. Okay? I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Whose faith? So what makes Simon Peter's faith equal to yours is because it is also the same faith of Jesus. Jesus is not using one type of faith. Peter using one type of faith and you are using another type of faith. No. Same faith. Otherwise, it would be completely unreasonable and inhuman for Jesus to say that you will do the same things that he did and greater while having a different inferior faith, since he did the things he did through faith. Okay. I can't give you a bit. Then I equip myself with a Subaru WRX 2020 whatever, and I say we are going to Entebbe, and I expect you to get there before me using the bypass and the expressway. That's when you say, Over then I say, follow me, keep up with my speed. There is a man I know, he's a pastor, who drove his car from home to church in about 9 minutes. Okay? While other people use a lot more time than that. And you may find that sometimes also the kind of car. Do you get what I'm saying? Facilitates that experience. If you give someone a bicycle and told them also do it in 9, it's a different faith. why am I laboring to tell you all these things? Go around begging God for faith when he said, Peter said, to those who have obtained. In fact, your faith might just be suffering from underuse. It is not exercised at all. I'm preaching. I'm teaching. I'm saying, someone here, your faith is just not exercised. It is begging to be given work. Yeah. Like, please, give me a chance also. When Peter had me, he would walk, and then his shadow would just keep healing people. Why don't you also try me, Cole? Put me to the test. Are you understanding? So while we are talking faith, I might be here laboring. When someone thinks they have a VIT instead of the Range Rover. Now, it doesn't say for pastors. You see, you can rely on the pastor for so long. One time, it will be you and God. And the good thing about you and God is that you're always together. Yeah. You know, sometimes you may have been raised in a certain faith tradition where everything is for waiting for the pastor. But that's not worship harvest. Yeah. Here, everyone is a heavy lifter. Everyone can exercise their faith. Everyone can manifest healing. Everyone can cancel debts. Everyone can build a billion, whatever it is. Yeah. Everyone can have a mega church. That's what we believe here. Because that's, yeah. You see, honestly speaking, I want you to always remember that a person like me, I can't change your life. No. It is the word of God that changes your life. Yeah. Because some of you are more excited about me than other pastors than the word of God. So you ignore your Bible, but you want an appointment. I'm teaching. Oh, yes. And I'm teaching under the anointing. Yeah. How do I know? I know. I know things. I can know that in my knower that the kind of miracles that will come from tonight are going to be just mind-blowing. Yeah. Because I'm giving you something that's better than you presenting yourself before any person. Amen. So while we are at it, I want you to know the kind of faith you have been given. The kind of faith you are operating. It is the same faith of our Lord Jesus Christ. The same faith of the apostles. The same faith of those who have gone before us. The same faith of everyone in this room right now. So stop looking to man and look to God, because look, you still have very many years to go. You have a long runway ahead of you. Many years. Do you know why you have many years? To try to put this faith to exercise. To what? Yeah. Every day, say, today is another opportunity. Yeah. You should basically have a faith agenda. Like, what should I do with this faith today? Every day, yeah, have a faith agenda. Today, I should, what, yeah. Every time, you know, there was a lady, for her thing was parking spot. You know those days when it was so hard to find parking in Kampala? Or wherever you go? Nowadays, there's a lot of parking. For her, it was, I cannot not get a parking spot. It's impossible. And that was always her result. She would get, you would see everyone is driving out of that parking lot because they can't find. And as soon as she drives in, surely a car pulls out of a slot and psh, there she goes. That was one of the ways she... I'm just giving, because when I say exercise, some of you might be thinking weird things. I mean, every day, try out. Don't put your faith to sleep. Activate it. Lead someone to Christ. That's one of the ways to exercise your faith. Like, today, I'm going to share the gospel with someone. Today, I'm going to pray for a sick person to be healed. Today, I'm going to bless someone in this way or that way. Today, I'm going to change someone's, you know, situation by faith. Today, I'll get a prophetic word for someone. Yeah. Today, I'll be in total peace in the midst of stormy water. All that, you're exercising faith. Now that you know the kind of faith you have, you find a what? An obstacle. And then there are four responses. Do you remember them? The first is your faith promise. The second is your... There is a lot of... What's the first one? My faith promise. The second one? The third one? The first one. And boom. It's the same. You see, football, also known as soccer, it's the same. Whether in Brazil, in Nigeria, in Uganda, in China, in Chitukutwe, it's the same. The 11 players. Well, it's the same. Please listen carefully. And the thing that differentiates Real Madrid from Kasokoso United. It's not the balls are different. It's not that the rules are different. It's not that whatever. No. Here is what it is. Listen. The other guys who are paid millions of dollars versus these guys who have to buy their own second-hand socks from somewhere. Hey, hey. You are not listening. You're listening. Okay. Is that the other people have, watch this, they have mastered the fundamentals. They have mastered the fundamentals. Every endeavor in life has its own fundamentals. Everyone, be it football, be it music, be it preaching, there is nothing, be it teaching, there is nothing in life for which there are no fundamentals. There is nothing new under the sun. That's what the Bible says. In other words, everything is controlled by certain set of rules and practices. And what differentiates the professionals from the mediocres is the mastery over the fundamentals. Both Madrid and Kasokoso are using a round ball. Yeah. Both are trying to score into a rectangular goalpost. Both have defenders, attackers, midfielders, goalkeepers. There is corner kicks, penalties, offside, tackling, dribbling. The difference is the fundamentals of football. Ball control. What happens when the ball comes in your direction at a high speed? A ball comes from 80 meters away and the guy just puts it down as if they've just rolled it from 3 meters away. That's a fundamental ball control. So you find you don't have ball control. Even if the ref wants to cheat for you, you can't win because you lack a mastery of the fundamentals. Dribbling in football is a fundamental. And what made greats like Ronaldo, Ronaldinho, and others was Messi, was the man is here, he has the ball. It's the ball is like an extra part of his body, the same way some of you, your phones are like parts of your bodies. And he gets the ball, and there are two defenders or three, and somehow, I don't know how, by the time you know it, one defender is down, one is this way, the man is through with the ball. Fundamentals. Mastery of the... What a... Yeah. Shooting. I mean, okay, you've controlled the ball, you've dribbled, you're what? You're clear on goal. Now the goal is, what are you going to do? It's a fundamental. It's a fundamental. You must know how to shoot. On target, yes. There was a guy called Roberto Carlos. He would take a free kick and you can see the ball is going outside the goal. It is going outside. It has gone past the wall of the defense. It is going outside. But because of the spin that he put on the ball, and when you bring in the laws of aerodynamics, the ball which seemed to be headed out, it starts to turn, because you'd think if you shoot it should go straight. No, it's at a very high speed, but it is changing direction, and the next thing you see is a net that is shaking. He had mastered the fundamentals. Yeah, he mastered the fundamentals. When England, the English, they think they have they're entitled to go to every World Cup finals. Never mind, they won only once. Was it 96 when they were not going? When they were not going? Yeah, they were going to be eliminated. It was unthinkable that England wasn't going to, because it was even bad for the brand, because those fellows, they go in large numbers, they drink all the beer, and they make all the football depends on their being there. Now if they were not going, it was going to be a bad FIFA World Cup finals without the England supporters, not the players, the supporters. The prayers have minimal impact. It's the supporters everyone wants. It's hard to make businesses. There are so many, they don't even take aeroplanes. They hire like ships, liners, to go like tens of thousands. But England was going to be eliminated. This was like the 90th minute almost. 89th minute. And yeah, the whole whatever stadium is quiet. People have started to leap. People in distress. People have put money bets. People are about to lose it. And then one England player was tackled and went down, and the referee pointed to the free kick. Then David Beckham, the man who had spent early mornings and late nights practicing free kicks, he would put things in the goalpost, and his aim was to always hit that thing in a corner every time. He would come first, he would leave last. Put the ball and stepped back. It was time. It was time for the practiced fundamentals to bear fruit. The referee checks the line to make sure no one is offside, looks at the linesman to make sure we're okay, because it's a sensitive time. Yeah, they were playing against Greece. Yeah, the Greeks think they are going to the World Cup. Bend it like. Takes 1, 2, 3 steps. 2 steps back. And the ball started on its journey with every English heart. All the ventricles and atriums hanging on it, and it went, and it went as if going outside. But this is Beckham. He has put a spin on it. It started to turn and turn and turn and turn. In. And the beer drinkers went to the World Cup. The fundamentals. Everything has its fundamentals. Marriage has fundamentals. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. I don't have time to tell you about the marriage fundamentals. Oh yes. What's his name who wrote His Needs, Her Needs? Willard Halley. Yeah, Dr. Willard Halley wrote a book, His Needs, Her Needs, where he shows you the fundamentals. And you ignore them for your own sadness and pain. But if you master them, it's not about knowing them. It's not about knowing that you have to kick the ball and it bends. It's not about knowing that you should dribble like Ronaldinho and you leave two people lying down while you're going through. It's not knowing, it's mastering. How do you master? Through repeated practice. Repeated. That's how you master the fundamentals. Doctors have their fundamentals. That's why what they do, they call it a practice. You repeated practice. Fundamentals. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to put it to you that the four things up there on that screen, which they are going to put up, are the fundamentals of faith. Those are your fundamentals. You've met an obstacle. One, do you have a promise? Two, are you in the right company? Three, what are you saying? Four, what are you doing? From there, it's a matter of when the wall will fall, not if. It's the fundamentals. Sit down. Acts chapter 4, verse 13. We have to hurry. I'm out of time. 1, 2, we go. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, I don't hear you, and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled and they realized they had been with Jesus. And seeing the man who had been healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, "What shall we do to these men? For indeed a notable miracle has been done through them, is evident to all who dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it." Verse 17. "But so that it spreads no further among the people, let us severely threaten them, that from now on they speak to no man in this name." Obstacle. Obstacle. There's a threat. Verse 18. "So they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus." Obstacle. But they were talking to people who had been walking around with a man of faith. They had mastered, they had had 3 years to master the fundamentals. So here is their humble response. Verse 19. "But Peter and John answered and said to them, 'Whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge.'" The promise. Yeah. What are we going to listen to? The one who sent us told us, "Go and preach the gospel to all the world, to every creature." You cannot change the word. You cannot change the command. He told us to go preach. You are telling us not to preach. So which one? It's as if you people decide for yourselves. What are we going to decide? You or Jesus? So what have you been listening to concerning the obstacle? What man has to say or what God has to say? You see, your opinion of the importance of what God has to say is a fundamental you must start to master. Yes, there may be momentary sadness, momentary indecision, moment when your flesh takes over, but that should not be for longer than just a few minutes to recollect yourself and say, "Wait a minute, before I start joining the rest of the mourners, what does the scriptures say about my situation?" What it says, you people decide. whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, who told us to go and preach this gospel, who told us to go and teach all the nations. You're telling us not to do it. What are we going to do? It starts with your promise. If you have a promise, look, you're on good ground. You're on solid ground. You don't need to fear anything. But a promise you see, to master the fundamental, you must practice it. You practice every day. Don't wait for the day the obstacle is the size of Mount Kilimanjaro to say, Mposi, where is the promise? No. Mountain climbers practice on smaller hills. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. That's the promise. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding no way of punishing them because of the people, since they all glorified God for what had been done. For the man was over 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing had been performed. Verse 23, are you there? And being let go, they went their own company or companions. Give us the KJV. And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. Your company. Where are you going? You see, you might say, me, I'm strong. I have my promise. As long as I have my promise, I don't need nobody. You're wrong. This is Peter, the one who walked on water. Yeah. And who? John, the one who put his head on Jesus' chest. Yeah, you have only read about it, but yeah. They are the ones going to find their faith company. Where is your faith company? Where is your faith company? Someone here, there's something that's been going on in your life that you need to change. You need to find like one or two people and start praying intentionally on a certain day at a certain time every week without fail. Yeah. That should be your commitment. You meet and pray. Please. Find faith company. You see, the devil is so intentional, but we are not intentional. When the devil attacks you intentionally. But your response is sporadic. You're just reacting out of pain and fear. Get a faith company person and say, hey, this is what I'm pushing back against. Do you mind meeting with me every Tuesday at 1 o'clock? Or every Thursday at 4 o'clock or whatever time, and we just pray every week. You're praying until what? Until it changes. You're not praying to pastor until it changes. If you're not married, you're praying until you get married. If you don't have a child, you're praying until you get a child. I've just given you the key. The rest is up to you. The fundamentals. Yeah. You're like, we are going to stare down this thing until it moves. I mean, the time of just crying about it is over. And if you're finding faith company, you better find faith company. I'm not talking about cry company. I'm talking about faith company. Yeah. Because you're likely to go and find the same person with you're combining your problems instead of joining your faith too. Sometimes there are things that have come many years later which could have come many years earlier if you had taken the same approach. But it took long because you didn't have an intentional response mechanism. So the one time you ran into a faith company, someone held your hand and it just worked that one time. But because it was, you know, it's like planting maize on purpose in rows and then just some seeds falling all over the place and hoping you'll have a harvest. And it's not complaining time. No. You pray with thanksgiving. How do you know you're doing it right? The peace of God that passes all understanding guards your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. If every time you go to pray, you come away feeling sadder about the issue, you're praying with the wrong person. So they went to their own company and reported the things. Verse 24. So when they heard that, they said, oh my God. They've said no preaching. Really no preaching. You know, that's why I told our MC leader that he keeps sending us on evangelism where they now they've said no preaching. I guess now we need to apply wisdom and not preach. Is that what they said? They raised their voice to God with one accord. They were united in their conviction that this thing cannot stand. Yeah, some of you, your churches, people in the neighborhood are going to try and threaten you. Go find your faith company and in one, be united in the conviction that threat cannot stand. So they raised their voice to God with one accord. Don't take one accord for granted. Yeah, this was a huge group of people. But no one was like, oh, by the way, anyway, the other day so and so, they nearly beat him. Maybe we need to rethink our strategy. No, they were like, no. We were told to preach. Yeah. These ones can't tell us not to preach. No, they didn't get placards to go and say, preaching must continue. No, they went to God in prayer. And said, Lord, you are God who made heaven and earth and the sea. And I mean, the way these guys preach, as if they are reminding God that, by the way, in case you've forgotten, you are the one who made the sea. Who by the mouth of your servant David have said, why did the nations rage and the people plot vain things? Your promise. What are you basing your prayer on? Read your Bible every day. So when you're praying, you're not spewing complaints out of your mouth and empowering the demonic instead of the angelic. The kings of the earth took their stand and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For truly against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together to do whatever your hand and your purpose determined before to be done. Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants not protection. Not that they won't see us. No. With all boldness, they may do the exact thing the other Sanhedrin has said they shouldn't do. Speak your word. Singular conviction. Singular conviction. By stretching out your hand to heal. The same thing that had happened to the man that they presented. Because they're like,
you know,
that man, he saved us. We may have healed him, but he saved us from beatings. Because the whole crowd was like, you can't touch these guys. Look, this man, he has been here 40 years, we know. So he's like, do it again, Lord. Stretching out your hand to heal. And that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together. Are you there? So are you seeing their confession? Their confession is that we are going to preach, man. Yeah. Look on their threats. Grant your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word. They are saying the thing they should be doing. Anyway, when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Okay? And what did they do? Your faith action. The very thing they told them not to do is what they did. When they said, you shall not preach this, they spoke not anymore even with politeness. But they went and hired loudspeakers now. Stand up on your feet and pray in the Spirit. Oh, yes. Thank you, Lord. You are in your faith company. You are in your faith company. Oh, yes. God is helping you. God is answering you. The God who answers by fire is answering you. Can you just not walk around? It's a holy moment. Just please, let's not walk around at this time. We are closing the service. Thank you, Jesus. We bless you. Thank you for faith. Thank you that we don't know defeat. Thank you that you've given us a way. You've shown us your way. You've given us your purposes. We will not walk alone. On this journey, we'll find our faith company. And we will walk. We will pray. We will be bold. We will speak. We will confess that we are healed, that we are favored, that we are highly favored, that things work for us, that we are the beloved of the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Every sickness masquerading in your body, go now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Be gone. Be gone. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for creative miracles that the organs the doctors said had this or that or the other issue. Right now, they start to get aligned to your word. Each one, every organ, in every part of every body, align now to the word of God. Become fully functional. Fully functional. Father, Holy Spirit, perform extraordinary miracles right now among your people. Holy Spirit, perform extraordinary miracles. Turn around the situation permanently. There's nothing too hard for you. Holy Spirit, thou art welcome in this place. Holy Spirit, thou art welcome in this place. Omni.
potent Father of mercy and grace, thou art welcome in this place.
Whatever anomaly is in your legs, I command it to give way, and I command a miracle to start happening. Someone receive that. Something is in your leg. Something is in your leg. Something is in your left leg. It goes now. Right away, right now. Receive your miracle. Receive your creative miracle. Thank you, Jesus.
Thou art welcome in this place.
Your reproductive organs right now receive a creative miracle. Receive a creative miracle. Alignment to the word of God. Alignment. Healing. Restoration. Miracle, miracles. I command your womb to receive children, to receive children, to receive children, and to hold children to term in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Unexplainable headaches are leaving you, and whatever the source is, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Every divination, witchcraft, we come against you in the name of Jesus and declare that God's children are free from you right now. Total freedom from every kind of divination. In the name of Jesus, it shall not prevail against you. You shall prevail against it. For one cannot curse what God has blessed. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Fear not. Fear not, says the Lord. I'm on your side. I'm winning this battle for you. I will do it. I'll perform it. Fear not, says the Lord. Oh yes. Have a great expectation of me, says the Lord. Oh, thank you, Father. Thank you for healing us. Thank you for restoring us. Thank you for providing for us. Someone, this is what I hear the Lord say. 2024, someone is going to be your best year yet. Yes. Yes. By faith, as you walk by faith, as you apply these fundamentals, it's going to be your best year. As you change the words that come out of your mouth and change the people you're hanging out with, this is going to be your best year yet. You will see it. You will see it practically. You'll see it practically. Amen. Every head bowed, every eye closed in prayer. Thank you, Father, for a night where you have assured us of our position in Christ, of the faith we carry, and of our appropriate response to every obstacle to master the fundamentals of our faith promise, our faith company, our faith confession, and our faith actions. Now, Lord, we commit our hearts to you. May you be praised forever and ever. And friends, if you've never given your life to Jesus, if you've never given your life to Jesus, I want to pray with you right now.
to receive Christ. So as everyone is praying, you're there saying, Pastor, I've never given my life to Christ. I'm not born again. I want to receive Christ. Just put your hand up. I want to pray for you. You're saying, pray for me. I want to receive Jesus. I want to walk in this faith that you're talking about. Amen. Put it up until I've seen it. Put up your hand until I see it before you put it down. Amen. God bless you. Thank you. Put it up until I see it. Those who are in other places where are hosting the service, in case someone is there, I need you to put your hand up. There's going to be a pastor at the front to receive you. Amen. Amen. Faith is a gift. You can't work it up. You receive it as a gift from God. Amen. So everyone here is born again. Let me ask your neighbor if they've made a commitment to walk with Jesus. Just ask them. You have asked your neighbor? Okay. Do we have communion today? Been looking around for the communion team. Okay. We are going to do this very fast, so don't worry. We are running a little behind schedule, but it is well. Amen. You can sit down briefly and we receive our communion. Are you glad you came tonight? Are you blessed? They are going to give us communion, and then I'm praying that they will find a way of doing it very quick. Help me turn to your neighbor and give them a testimony. Yeah, of what God has done in your heart tonight or in your life. Yeah, tell them. Testify, testify, testify what God is doing for you. You are in your faith company. You could as well share what the Lord is doing for you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, yes. Your miracle is available. When you receive that communion, just hang on to it until we've prayed. Team, let's try and serve it as quickly as possible. Thank you, Jesus. I see miracles, signs and wonders in the atmosphere. God is moving in this place. He's moving in this place. I see miracles, signs and wonders in the atmosphere. God is moving in this place. Signs and wonders in the atmosphere. Your hand up if you haven't yet, so you can see where you are. There's a whole section there, just experience. There's some people here. Row two here was skipped. Oh, is there someone there serving you?
Delivery
and upstairs.
Breaking chains, that I have a smile. He is here. And it's moving in this place. We join with all the angels and the elders to worship you. To worship you.
Roots in heaven and the nations.
Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you for this bread and this drink. We receive it as the body and the blood of Jesus as we worship you tonight. Thank you for your word. Thank you for instruction. Thank you for prophecy. Thank you for teaching. Thank you for establishing us. So we bless you. May your name be praised in our lives. Thank you for the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. In Jesus' name. You may have the bread. Thank you, Lord. And thank you, Father, for this drink. May it always remind us of the shed blood of Jesus that has made us free from sin, and that we live in freedom and in the knowledge of you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Have you had a great evening? Why don't you help me stand and we sing that chorus one more time? We join with all the angels and the elders to worship you, to worship you,
to worship you.
As someone who is appreciating the Lord for all that we've done, for He has done for us.
Sing with one voice
to the ancient. We join with all.
We join with all the angels and the elders to worship you. To worship you.
Multitudes in
heaven and the nations
sing.
Spirit, we thank you for what you have done in our hearts tonight. Our eyes have not seen it, but we know it, that we've received a transfer of grace to become men and women of great faith. We thank you, Lord, that your word has entered and it's going to produce fruit. We will testify. We will testify and we will carry a testimony of being people who have mastered the fundamentals of faith, and our faith will produce every day. In Jesus' name. Can you clap your hands to Jesus? How many of you know with all your heart that tonight you have shifted by reason of the word of God? What a word. What a word. Yesterday, we did not sow in the word. We did not call people to sow in the word. So some people might have forgotten. A practice that we have and that we've seen God use, according to the scriptures, Galatians 6:6 says, let him who is taught the word. Have you been taught the word tonight? Do we believe the Bible? Let him who is taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. And what does verse 7 say? Verse 7. Do not be deceived. God is not... In other words, I can be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. Verse 8. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap. So tonight I'd like you to sow in faith in something that is spiritual. Name your seed. Command it to bring forth a harvest. This seed is not going to, it's not offertory. So I'd like to encourage you to either give it in the baskets where you are. Whatever you do, sow a seed. Don't despise your seed. Sow from what you have, not from what you don't have. So don't say, hi, it's little. It's a seed. A seed is usually small. But sow your best seed in faith that it's going to return a harvest of grace. Amen. Those of you who want to give through mobile money, the number is on the screen. The names are Solomon and Tyro. Send your seed. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, now and forever. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this teaching. We hope that you've been blessed by the Worship Harvest Sermon Series. For more teachings and other resources, visit www.worshipharvest.org or call 0393-281-555. That is 0393-281-555.